Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
With this background. So let's look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the where? Tombs. What do you keep in tombs? Keep dead bodies. Okay, so here's a dude hanging out with dead things. So right there, he's unclean. And any good Jew at the time, if we're not going to come in contact with things that are unclean. Because the principle of the Mosaic law, you know, in the Old Testament was, if there is something unclean and it touches something clean, it makes that clean thing. Jesus is about to challenge that. You know what? And some of us live our lives still today to that principle. Some of us still live our lives where we try to stay very much away. And I, you know, when I raise my kids, I definitely teach them this. I can't tell you how many times I've shared with my kids, stay away from drama, stay away from drama, stay away from drama. And then they're all in the theater. Okay, no, it's a different type of drama. That you know, if you're around stuff, there's something about being around stuff that will invite trouble. If you're around trouble, trouble has a tendency to find me out anyway. I don't need to be around it. So there's something positive in doing that. But we as mature Christians, when we come to a place of maturity in Christ, we need to check how we view other individuals. All right? Because Jesus here has this encounter with this individual who comes and meets him out of the tombs. And he was with an unclean spirit. Verse 3. He lived among the tombs and no one could bind him anymore. In other words, people had tried. There had been interventions and they were all unsuccessful. Goes on there, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. I mean, this is a serious dude here. Every intervention to his life hadn't worked. It said no one had the strength to subdue him. I want to remind you again what it says here. No one had the strength to subdue him. And my heavens, they had tried. This individual in Scripture, I really am drawn to this poor, unfortunate person. Because I look, it says day and night among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." First of all, when does Jesus torment anybody? I mean, we don't read anywhere. And Jesus' life was fairly intricately detailed. And we don't see the story of, oh yeah, there's a story of Jesus walking by the dog and kicking it. We don't see that story, right? What we do see is Jesus constantly engaging people whom society and whom the religious people got upset with him engaging. We see that story all the time. And crying out with a loud voice, okay, we heard that in verse 8. For he was saying to him, this is what Jesus was saying, "Come out of that man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Interesting. Don't send me out of the country. Now, a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs and the herd, numbering about 2,000. They rushed down the steep bank and into the sea and were drowned in the sea. For just a moment, I want to consider this man. I do want to focus on him for a minute, because this guy hits me so hard. This is a person who is demonically afflicted. They are untamable. They're dangerous to themselves and they're dangerous to others. They are not able to be controlled. They tried all these interventions and their final intervention was put him out. He does not play well with others. Now there's a phrase that we always used in ministry. It says, you can't counsel a demon and you can't cast out the flesh. Okay? And the truth is, I know for some of us, how many of you have ever done something and you're like, oh, well, that's just so not me. Anybody? Would you like a news flash? Yes, it is. Okay, yeah, it is you. Yeah, I mean, it's a great excuse to say, well, I would never do something like this. I'd never walk by a Krispy Kreme and eat a whole dozen. It's just not in my character. Until you see the hot light on. Until you eat the first one. And no one's around to look. Then you eat a few more. Well, then, you know, it's over half gone. We might as well polish off the box and get rid of the evidence. But it wasn't me. Yes, that was you, gang. That was you, okay? No, it's a spirit of gluttony. Well, okay, we're going to talk about that in a moment here. So I'm not at all arguing that there are not medical conditions that affect people. And I'm not arguing that there are not neurological conditions and emotional conditions that are legit. They affect people. And we see this individual, and that's not the case with this guy. This is not a guy who said, oh yeah, I had a rough relationship with my mom. This is not a guy. This is a guy who has a demon. All right? He is being influenced. He is literally so oppressed that he can't control himself anymore. He is out of control. No one will control him. Natural interventions, my church family, I got to tell you today. Natural interventions do not solve spiritual problems. Spiritual solutions solve spiritual problems. And my heart aches for people who have the mistaken thought that there's no such thing as evil spirits. There's no such thing as demonic activity. Oh, that was something for the book of Acts. And now that we've graduated from the book of Acts, that's no longer there. Do you know who authored that lie from the pit of hell? The father of lies. Who wants us to think that there's no, that just doesn't happen anymore. What a wonderful, wonderful strategy that Satan has convinced the church to say that there's no longer an enemy of our soul who's trying very, very much to mess with us and to cause us to be uncontrollable. My heart breaks for those people. Now, my personal thought is that there are a lot of substance abuse issues that have their root in demonic oppression. That's my personal thought. And we think, well, how does this happen? When you willingly sin, the Apostle Paul tells us, you're going to be a slave of to whoever you submit yourself to. Now, does that mean that a Christian can be influenced by an evil spirit? Let me just tell you flat out. I think absolutely. Can they be possessed? I don't think so. I really don't think so. But when you willingly sin and you willingly and knowingly choose to open the door, you become fair game to be influenced by evil spirits in your life, which leads to addictions, pornography, abuse, all these different things. You open that door up willingly, and honey, you're going to be dealing with some spiritual issues. Not just now. And once again, let me tell you, spiritual issues do not get fixed by natural interventions. Natural issues do. Emotional issues can be fixed by emotional interventions and counseling. And sometimes, if someone's got anxiety, certainly there's some pharmacological interventions that can help. But when we're talking about some forms of demonic influence or of evil spirits messing with people, it will require a spiritual intervention. And here's the key that we can find out. Here's one of the keys, is you get all mad at Jesus. This guy comes up, Jesus, what are you to do with us? Look, some of us, let me choose one that never ever happens so that no one could possibly relate to it. Gossip. Okay. I know that no one in this room has ever, ever, ever dealt with that. Because Scripture says that we shouldn't gossip, right? And we know it, right? Right? Okay, so we know we shouldn't. We shouldn't do it. But if we willingly sin, then have you ever, you know that person who just can't help themselves? Woo, preacher, it got hot in the church today. Turn the air on. Look, gang, you can openly, you can open yourself up. You can open yourself. I mean, look, gluttony, a spirit of gluttony. Look, we can open ourselves up and become enslaved to some of the things. When we willingly yield ourselves, it can enslave us, gang. And so for that very thing, we don't realize, and it started, oh, I can stop this anytime I want. I can stop talking about people anytime I want. Did you know what happened? But it's on the prayer concern list, so it's okay. Look, I'm just saying be very, very careful. And here's the sad thing. You know, is this individual, he tried all these interventions, nothing works. He comes to Jesus automatically with a tude. And you know how it is when you begin to talk to somebody about this, you begin to pull it out. Boy, immediately anger kicks in. They're mad. How dare you? How dare? Look, that anger response should be telling you that something's going on internally. Well, here's the good news for everybody. Jesus does not have a problem with evil spirits. It's not like Hollywood says. Jesus, boom. Okay? Every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. Every tongue will confess He is Lord. And so that's good news. Verse 8, Jesus casts out the demons. Here's the sad thing. When we go on and read like 13 and 15, we read that these people come and they see this man who used to hang out in the tombs and be naked and unclothed and furious and untamable. And they see him, and Scripture says, clothed and in his right mind. How should they respond? That's not how they respond. You know, this jumps off the page. Here's the response. Jesus, you've just caused us a big economic distress with all those pigs. Someone's going to have to pay for that. Mm-hmm. Jesus, you know the price of bacon is going to go up now? Jesus. Now, obviously, look, first of all, Jewish people weren't going to have unkosher food. All right, so we're going to throw that one out. Were these wild pigs or was this a Gentile? I don't know. Scripture's not very clear on that. Certainly, there was probably some type of an economic backlash. But the bottom line is, there are some individuals that have some big issues in their lives. In church, we ought not be like them to say, Jesus, just get on moving, because we don't want the drama surrounded with dealing with those folks. We don't want the drama surrounded with dealing with people who don't have an emotional issue, who don't have, you know, physical issue, who have a spiritual issue. Because those things are very unsettling. Jesus' power, in fact, can make us uncomfortable. Amen? And so my church family, boy, I hope we're not like that. I hope we're not like the rest of those people who can see people getting free. And man, there might be some drama around people getting free. There might be. And we ought to check ourselves if we withdraw or if we embrace. Going on to the next story, verse 21 through 34. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Now, is this a serious problem? Is this a serious problem? Yeah, this is a serious problem. This is a very serious problem. Some little girl is at the point of death. And what's interesting is this is Jairus. He is connected. He's got a place of power. He's got a place of authority. We find out a little bit later he has servants. Obviously, he is well off. The dude's got it going on. And none of his earthly powers, his earthly treasures, his earthly authority does him one bit of good. Little sidebar relationship for us, gang, is we need to be very, very careful about spending so much of our priorities and time investing things that really don't deal with eternity. May I remind you of Jesus' counsel to the rich young ruler. Hey, you know what? All this stuff, why don't you go sell your stuff and you'll have treasures in heaven. And he went away sad. That was free. It says, my little daughter is at the point of death. This is a legit thing. This is a legitimate need. And if we had someone with us, my heavens, I know that we would move heaven and earth to try to make it happen. Here's what he says. He's so desperate. He's coming to Jesus and he implores him, the end of verse 23, come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. And he went with them. That's good news, isn't it? Here's the problem. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. Oh, we got to see what's going to happen here. We got to see the miracle. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians. Okay, so what happened to her under many physicians? She suffered. You know, this is a sad thing. I had a family member a couple years ago, was really going through a lot of stuff. And they went through one thing after another, having a pain issue. And they're like, look, how can we deal with this pain? And every person would send it to another specialist. And that specialist would say, I've got the answer. Do this. And it wouldn't do a doggone thing. Oh, we're going to send you to the next one. Oh, what's this? And it wouldn't do a thing. And after a while, then the medical bills start rolling in. And by the way, healthcare is cheap, isn't it, right? Yeah. And why is it that we can't bill? Oh, never mind. I'm going to get off my different soapbox for a different today. But we dealt with it. And isn't it frustrating, gang, when you deal with things and you people promise you that you're going to get better and nothing changes? It just robs your soul. Scripture says that hope deferred makes the heart ill. And gang, that's what's happening to this woman. And it's not just that. Let's break this down for a little bit. This woman who has an issue of blood. Because, again, we started talking about the Levitical law. Remember I said that there are body fluids like blood? You can't be around that. This individual is now ceremonially, she is ritually unclean. She can't go and worship. That's according to the law. And so, remember, our Old Testament feeling that if there's something unclean and there's something clean, if the unclean thing touches something that's clean, it makes it unclean. There are people who have legitimate issues, who have legitimate rules, and who have legitimate ailments. And I want you to tell you this, Jesus doesn't shy away. Okay? What's really troubling to me is when we want to dig a little deeper, the emotional baggage that this woman is probably carrying around. Now, it's not like it today, but in biblical times when this was written, it was seen that a woman's value was greatly wrapped up in her ability to reproduce children. Okay? And so this has been challenged by this particular issue. She was not able to have this. And so because of her inability to bear children, her identity in society is now challenged. She's looked at this outcast. She's looked at this one of, oh yeah, she's there. What did she do? This value continues, and I just bet it augments, and it gets larger and larger, and the judgment and the looks of other people. Oh, poor such and such. She's not this. She's not that. My heart goes out to this woman, and yet there's some things that her to be admired. Because verse 27, it says that she heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. So we have a rich person who's connected, who's got all the stuff, who perhaps is using his influence. Hey, Jesus, come here. I have a daughter. It's a very real situation. I'm going to use every single part of my power and my wealth to get you to come with me. And then we have a lady who's an outcast, who is unclean, and who's outside of the norm, and who suffers judgment and says, I got to just get a hold of him. Verse 29. Immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out of him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Okay, let's stop here for a second. And you've heard me say this a million times, okay? Does Jesus ask questions to gain information? Is Jesus omniscient? And does he know all? Okay, yes, he knows all. He knows our thoughts, he knows our intents, he knows everything. Was Jesus asking this question because he truly had no idea? Well, who did that? Wow, that took me by surprise. Things with Christ are not random. They are purposed. You are not here just random. You were purposed to have an encounter with Christ today to hopefully unlock for you to walk to the next place of your destiny. And so Jesus knew, and she knew. But she's like a lot of us who we want to have our encounter with God and then come on, you know what I'm talking about. Well, Pastor, my religion is a very personal thing. Good. Wonderful. Great. Maybe you need to tell somebody. No, what's going on with me is personal. No, they'd all think it was. No, there's something powerful. In fact, the very people who had been judging her and perhaps had been and looking down upon her, Christ wanted not to just heal her body, but to restore her position. There's people around who are constantly, I mean, we look, there's society has different levels. No matter how we try, it just doesn't happen. And there are people who are like, yeah, I'll say hi to them in church, but if we get out in public, well, I don't know. We come from different social circles, you know, and you better get over that, gang, because heaven's going to be really awkward for the living the first 1,000 years while you work that stuff out. Mm-hmm. So the verse, she was healed, and Jesus said, "Who touched my garments?" 31. And his disciples said to him, "Look, you see the crowd pressing in around you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, he was giving her time, came in fear and trembling down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." He is admonishing her. He's saying, "Look, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Wait a minute. She already was healed of her disease. So there was another disease he was healing her of. Her shame. Oh, come on. It just went right over your head. He already healed her body. And then he's saying, "Heal you of your disease." Many of us walk around and we have had disappointments in our lives. We've had failures in our lives. And we walk around carrying the chain of shame. And Jesus has come to deal with it. This broken, judged woman who had her value challenged was being restored. And he did not want her to stay anonymous. And my brothers and sisters, there's some things in your life that God does not want you to remain anonymous about. Revelation says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What's going on? Because now I got a couple points for you today about this. First point is this. Jesus has compassion on the outcast. And when we consider this demon-possessed individual hanging out naked in the tombs, that just seems just out there. And this woman who had been dealt this rough time from society, Jesus has compassion on the outcast. He has concern for those who we scorn, those whom society has scorned. And he has healing for those whom society has been done with and cast out. And so the message for us, gang, is when others forsake us, Jesus never will. And so this tells us something powerful. And this truth, if we really examine it and we allow it to marinate in the depth of our souls, compels us to ask this question. If Christ has this compassion, shouldn't we? Is this, Jesus covers our shame. Now, neither the demonically oppressed man's nakedness nor the bleeding woman's uncleanness hindered them from an encounter with Christ. There's all kinds of drama in my family. And I remember, you know, asking, Mom, can I have a birthday party? And she finally agreed, okay, fine, we'll let you have friends over. And I didn't have many friends, and I think it was, you can make friends. And so I invited, like, everybody in my class. A ton of people show up. And here we are having this birthday party, and it's going great. And we're playing pin the tail on the donkey, and we're playing water things and getting the hose out. And I'm like, it's happening. I'm actually making friends. It's gonna be okay. And then my dad's car came over the hill, and I remember seeing it weave and weave and missing the driveway and running into a tree. And I remember him getting out and walking up and staggering and passing out into the bushes in front of the party. I don't remember anything else the rest of that party because I ran inside and hid. Well, those events had such a big impact to me as a little kid. Because the level and the identity of shame causes you to not believe that you can ever come to Christ. Here's what's powerful, gang. And this was something that I had the revelation. I couldn't go to my next step with accepting Christ until I came to this revelation. And it was a time of thinking about the manner in which Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ's torture and death were designed to inflict shame. He was stripped naked. He was beaten, he was exposed, he was uncovered. This was done in front of his mother. He was tied up so he can't get away, and he couldn't cover his own shame. He couldn't cover his own nakedness. They put a sign mocking him in front. Christ knew that this was the journey. This is why he sweat drops of blood in Gethsemane. And my brothers and sisters, to understand this is deliverance, that Christ can relate to our humiliation. Because no matter the worst that happened to me, it didn't possibly compare to that. In fact, Christ comes and he covers our shame. And what a liberating time to no longer be known as, oh, you're the son of the drunk, or oh, you're the son of this, or oh, you're the son of that. That now you're a child of the King and you have purpose and you have freedom. Christ can heal and cover our shame when we bring it to him. But to that end, we have to learn a lesson from the woman with the issue of blood. And we need to press through the crowd and reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And sometimes that crowd is internal. Look, for me, I didn't have an external crowd that kept me from Christ. And for some of you listening to my words today, you know it's not an external crowd. It's an internal crowd. It's that internal dialogue. And I would like to submit to you today that some of those voices are not earthly, they're spiritual. They're evil, and they are from the pit of hell, designed to stop you from being liberated from your shame and delivered. And here's why I share the end of this story, because some of you are saying, well, that sounds great, but it's impossible. My hurt goes too deep. My wounds go back too far. That's an impossible situation. I love how this is all sandwiched together. While he was still speaking, this message comes. It says, your daughter's dead. As in Scripture, in the book of Leviticus, a good Jew does not touch a dead body. And yet Jesus walks up and touches it. Jesus walks right past the law and goes and touches her. He says, and immediately the girl got up and began walking. Jesus took her by the hand. This should have made him unclean. But instead of making him unclean, it made her alive again. Here's what I love about this. Here's what I love about this. A dead girl, a bleeding woman. Jesus a man possessed by evil spirits hanging out in the tombs. Jesus is not afraid of your uncleanness. And my final point is the truth that Jesus declares is greater than the facts of your life. The facts of my life were this. You are always going to be the drunk son. You're always going to be the guy who's embarrassed. You're always going to be the square peg with those round holes. You're always going to be that guy. You're never going to fit. You're never going to find your place. You're always going to fail. It's always going to work out bad. Those were the facts of my life. But the truth that Jesus declared is you are an overcomer and you're a child of the King. And you have a destiny that is great. And that's the message of the good news of the gospel, brothers and sisters. Amen. Jesus is Lord of impossible situations, and it's never too late to turn to God. That's what Jairus learned. Christ has the power to deal with the situations that every other attempt to rectify has failed to resolve. Not always is it done in our time, and not always is it done in our way. But if we understand all this about Christ, why in the world would we come to Him last? Let's come to Him first.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.